Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I want to wish everybody a big hello and Merry Christmas, and welcome to Mar-a-Lago for this exciting announcement of the new Golden Fleet. We're calling it the Golden Fleet that we're building for the United States Navy. As you know, we're desperately in need of ships. Our ships are, some of them have gotten old and tired and obsolete, and we're going to go the exact opposite direction.
Yeah, we're going to build a fleet out of gold. It's going to have golden toilet seats. It's going to have a golden captain's chair. The outside is going to be gold. It's going to be aesthetically configured by the president. Everything's going to be wonderful. You know why? Because he said it is. And that's all you need to know. It's just, you know, trust. He knows what he's doing. A big, golden, beautiful fleet. The best there's ever been. The biggest there's ever been. Not the most expensive there's ever been. I mean, you know, we're going to make it awesome and we're going to rush it, but it's going to be cheap too, because those three things happen all the time together. Hey, I'm back. Did you miss me? Oh, my God. Okay, why, John? Why? Why?
Why? I don't know.
I like the golden toilets.
Yeah, well, I've seen...
I just joined the Navy for that.
Why'd you join the Navy, son? Gold toilets.
I was promised that.
Gold cots. Gold coffee cups. It's going to be gold on the outside. It's going to be gold-plated warships. Because, well, you know, to go play to warship, what it does is it's shiny and in the sun, it blinds the enemy and then they can't fire against you. And if they shoot their space lasers at you or even their sea lasers at you, you know, it jams the radars and it blocks everything. And even the hypersonics, it can't hit gold. I mean, you might as well have said that. Anyway, all right, we'll get to what he did actually say.
As Commander in Chief, it's my great honor to announce that I have approved a plan for the Navy to begin the construction of two brand new, very large, largest we've ever built, battleships. You know, you used to build the Iowa, the Missouri, the Wisconsin, the Alabama, many others. We had big battleships. These are bigger, but they will have 100 times the, they'll be 100 times the force, the power, and there's never been anything like these ships.
Not 99 times. Not 103 times. 100 times the power of anything that's ever existed before on the ocean. What does that even mean?
If only people could see your Trump impression.
What does that even mean, 100 times? It's not 100 times as big. It's not 100 times as long. 100 times as powerful. What? In what sense? More kilotonnage of explosives? Okay, it's I've been on vacation for a week. Don't make me swear in the first 5 minutes. I mean,
already?
It's just.
What the Florida?
Oh my goodness!
It makes no sense. We're gonna have the biggest battleships that have ever been, the Golden Fleet. We're building a couple of them now. It's gonna be awesome, amazing, fantastic. Don't ask questions.
They've been under design consideration for a long time.
What? No, they haven't.
And it started with me in my first term.
Oh, my God.
Because I said, why aren't we doing battleships like we used to? And these are the best in the world. They'll be the fastest, the biggest, and by far 100 times more powerful than any battleship ever built.
What does that mean? If you just say it enough times, it's true. This steak is 100 times better than any other steak that there ever has been. In what sense? Just stop asking questions. It's 100 times better. It's faster. It's leaner. It's tastier. It's cheaper. It's 100 times better. It's 100 times steak. In fact, we won't even call them Trump battleships. We'll just call them 100 times battleships. And that'll make it true by definition, because it'll be in the name. They'll be 100 times greater.
If you look at the Iowa, the Missouri, Wisconsin, Alabama, and others, but they were similar in size, some a little bit bigger than the others, but If you take the biggest one, it's 100 times more powerful. They're longer by a little bit.
A little bit.
But and they're bigger. They're bigger ships, but they hold much more. They use the word lethality.
I saw it in a briefing. Somebody said the word lethality is very important to all of this. Yes. Golden ships, biggest, baddest, 100est, most lethal, a little bigger. It's like you can't listen to him talk without hearing Saturday Night Live. He's a walking self-satire. Andrew, I'm not expecting a conservative station to be critical of Trump like this. Wake up, bro! Okay. I'm repeating. For those of you who are new to the show, I voted for Trump 3 times. He does a lot of very good things. This is insane. This is a pure vanity project that will not happen. This will not get built. I'll say it right now. This is not going to get built. What's the point? What in the Navy are they asking for? Nobody's asking for this. He says, you know, the ships are getting smaller and smaller, and now we're going to make things bigger. Why? You know why we make them smaller, sir? Because we want multiple sources of attack, because with decentralized attack capability, you make yourself less vulnerable as a target to the enemy. That's why we make them smaller and more nimble. That's why we have, 100, I think, Arleigh Burke-class destroyers? We don't want one big thing, unless, you know, aircraft carrier. That's, you know what's amazing? He says, where's the thing? Is this the
battleships
one?
Are the largest, sturdiest, and most heavily armed vessel built specifically for naval combat. While America has built many new warships over the years, they've tended to be smaller, much smaller.
Yeah, do you know why?
And
do you know why?
Not conducive to where we are and where we're going, and peace through strength.
Peace through strength, lethality. I've got buzzwords I've got to say.
But including, we've been building aircraft carriers. We're going to be upping that also. We're going to be going to a superior aircraft. We have the Ford.
We just
class.
Deployed
we're
the Ford.
We're upping that to a different class.
A whole new class of aircraft carrier,
aircraft
too.
Aircraft carrier. And
so we're building battleships. We're building aircraft carriers. I mean, we can't build a frigate. We cancel the Constellation. You know, the LCS is the debacle. We canceled the Zumwalt class destroyers after 3, and we wish we hadn't never built those. So we can't build ships, but suddenly we're going to build not just battleships. We're going to build aircraft carriers too. Brand new ones. Golden ones. The best ever.
We haven't built a battleship since 1994.
1944, whatever. it doesn't really matter. Unless he means the refitting of them, that also got scrapped in the 80s.
Each one of these will be the largest battleship in the history of our country, the largest battleship in the history of the world ever built. And again, it's 100 times more powerful than the
stop it.
Previous Iowa class, it's called. Those are the big ones that you'd see on a show. Victory at Sea. I don't know if anyone's seen Victory at Sea, but it was a classic.
Oh, now I get it. He watched a movie, and he understands the Navy. He watched Victory at Sea. And now he knows everything about the Navy, and he got inspired to make big battleships. But by the way, just this, I haven't. All I've been doing so far mostly is mocking. I haven't been giving you any facts, not really. Because why bother? He doesn't give any.
That's 100 times.
John, this is a pop quiz for you. It's early on a Monday morning. Why not?
No.
You're ready. You're excited, right?
Yes.
Tell me the largest battleship that was ever made. I'll make it easier. Tell me the country that made the battleship that was the biggest that was ever made.
America?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then I don't know.
No, we're close.
I don't know America.
The Iowa class was big, but, you know, not even close to the biggest battleships ever made.
China.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
When were they making battleships? I'm going to help you out a little bit. When were they making battleships?
World War II.
That's right. Okay. Who were adversaries in World War II? Germany.
Yeah, right.
Made big battleships. You know who made the biggest battleships, though?
Who?
You had it. You
Japan?
Said, that's right. Yeah. The two biggest battleships ever made, the Yamato and the Musashi. By comparison with the Iowa class, and it depends on what number you go by, but somewhere in the vicinity of 25 to 50% bigger than the Iowa class. 72,000 tons.
What about 100%? 100% bigger.
Well, whatever Trump builds is going to be 100 times bigger than that. Well, no, 100 times more powerful, could mean God knows anything. The Musashi and the Yamato were huge, enormous, unstoppable, biggest, baddest ever. You know what beat the Musashi and the Yamato? What was the up-and-coming force in World War II? What was the primary shift in naval doctrine as a result of World War II? What did we build a bunch of and win the war with in the Pacific, and now we build and dominate the world with?
Aeroplanes.
Aircraft carriers that field naval aviators. You know what beat the Yamato? Naval air power. You know what beat the Musashi? Naval air power. So, why did we stop building battleships? Because we started building aircraft carrier. I mean, we didn't start, but that's basically what happened. And he doesn't even know this.
America's battleships have always been unmistakable symbols of national power. We stopped making them for whatever reason. I don't know.
Sir, before you call for building a completely new, unnecessary, ridiculous, whatever this is, child's toy, could you do the job of just learning the basics of why we don't make them anymore? Because despite the movie Battleship,
I think he saw that one too,
where they beat the aliens
with the World War II
technology. So what you need in this circumstance is you need a Secretary of the Navy who actually understands the Navy, or you need a Secretary of Defense who is willing to say to the president, I haven't even gotten into all the things, really, the details here. He says it's gonna have, oh my God, this is the amazing part. Okay, it's not just gonna be bigger, whatever, or more powerful, whatever 100 times means, and nobody knows. But it's going to have every known imaginary science fiction weapons project that you can name in one sentence.
The battleships are going to be armed just in terms of guns and missiles at the highest level. They'll also have hypersonic weapons, many hypersonic weapons, state-of-the-art electric rail guns, and even the high-powered lasers that you've been starting to read about. We have lasers where you aim the laser at a target and it just wipes it out. We're going to have, there'll be the most sophisticated lasers in the world, and the most sophisticated laser in the world will be on the battleships that we're building.
So, rail guns that we haven't been able to build and scrap the project, basically. Lasers. God love them. Hypersonics that we don't have. Guns, missiles. Oh, and nuclear weapons.
We'll also carry the nuclear arms. Sea launched cruise missiles currently under development, which will be...
Are they? Actually?
...instituted pretty quickly, but they're under development, and they've proven to be extremely lethal.
Yeah, the nuclear weapons are proven to be extremely lethal. Lethality! Peace through strength. They're 100 times more powerful than any nuclear weapon that's ever been deployed. This is all nonsense. This is not going to happen. Oh, and he's going to build them faster, cheaper. He's going to force these companies to do it right. Okay, serious talk for just a minute. Serious talk. I will come back to this later, but serious talk for just a minute. The Navy can't build ships right now. I love the Navy. I'm a believer in the Navy. The Navy shipbuilding procurement process is as foobar as a thing can foobar. We've had three main systems have to be scrapped because even when we start with a good basic, the Constellation class was based on a European ship model. And then because of our tweaks and changes, we made it unworkable and unaffordable. The LCSs, total debacle. The Zumwalt class, total debacle. We don't have the ability. We're going to build a brand new ship that nobody's ever seen before, with weapons nobody's ever seen before, with money that nobody's ever spent before, to accomplish a problem that nobody understands. It's this is You might as well have told me we're buying giant platinum gold-plated machine gun unicorns for all of the Air Force people. It's every bit as realistic as this. All right, I said my piece. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, it's Bess Marks with Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor. I want to read a little letter that I got from a wonderful friend. And she said, oh my gosh, wow, Bess, you and the Lazy Boy design team, you nailed it. We love it. We just can't believe it's ours. And that's what we call a standing ovation for our design team. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Mobile, Pensacola, and Spanish Fort. Just like a picture out of a magazine.
10 athletes will face the toughest job interview in fitness that will push past physical and mental breaking points. You are the fittest of the fit. Only one of you will leave here with an iFit contract for $250,000.
This is when mindset comes in.
Someone will be eliminated.
Pressure is coming down.
Trainer Games on Prime Video, January 8th. Watch the trailer on trainergames.com.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
So that was Mrs. Lundegaard on the floor in there. And I guess that was your accomplice in the wood chipper.
I will say this about Fargo. I love the Coen brothers. It's never been my movie. I watched it again. It's still not my movie. I don't get why people love it or why there was a series based on it, but it was entertaining in parts. You know, so that's fine. And, you know, the actors are all fantastic, of course. The Coen brothers managed to make movies that are, sometimes they're just completely weird, but they always are, like, interesting kind of weird. Like, the getting there is kind of fun, you know, even if you don't really love the movie itself. 527 on News Radio 92.3. I'm back. I promised myself I'd be super nice for the first, didn't even
5 minutes,
not eight. Even last that long. Oh my God. Somebody just says, good to have you back. Welcome back. We've missed you. Somebody else says, when we do this next time, that's what we should. Somebody says these battleships should have sharks with laser beams.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I want
to
train them.
That's what we come back to this in the 7 o'clock.
Just imagine a great white.
Oh, well,
with a laser beam.
You know, as soon as he thinks of it, that'll be the next project.
Maybe we should email him.
437-1620. Steve is sitting in for David this morning in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Well, America is aiming for a return to the moon before the end of President Trump's term. That's according to the new NASA Administrator, Jared Isaacman. He says making regular, affordable trips to the moon is key to building what he calls an orbital economy. He adds that sustained lunar missions would pave the way for future journeys to Mars. Peace talks over Ukraine may be gaining momentum after President Trump met with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Both leaders called the meeting productive, with Zelensky saying a 20-point peace plan is about 90% agreed to, and the U.S. is fully on board with proposed American security guarantees. A new survey shows America's top New Year's resolutions. YouGov.com found most adults want to exercise more. That's so usually at the top of the list, with 25% making it their primary goal for 2026. Other popular resolutions, including being happy, eating healthier, and saving more money. All of those are very original. YouGov notes that the younger adults are especially likely to focus on saving money, improving their mental health, and learning something new. And that's what's happening.
You know, I remember one time, Steve, you'll appreciate this. You know how sometimes you do things in other jobs in the radio business where you're like, man, I don't know if I should have done that exactly.
Yeah. many times. You can't take it back.
When I was working in Phoenix at the Christian station there, and I remember one time I went on the air and I said, you know, I think for New Year's what I'm going to do is I'm going to take up smoking.
What?
You did.
I bet the phone lines lit up.
Well, you know, no, it's just, you know, it's funny because we always talk about these. We're going to, you know, I'm going to be better with money. I'm going to be better in my relationships. I'm going to be healthier and all this stuff. I'm like, how come nobody ever like sets out to, I don't know, I feel like I'm going to start crack this year. You know?
Resolution.
I am going to get really good at shoplifting. Like, nobody ever sets, you know, nefarious goals. And I mean, at some point, I mean, somebody's got to, you know. Somebody's got to try the cigarette at some point for the first time, and why not? Set out to have a negative. I'm joking, of course, but you know. It's,
don't do that.
Yeah, well, whatever. Steve, thanks so much for, I love having you on the show this week, by the way, while David is out. Thanks so much for the headlines. 5:30 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, my goodness. Governor DeSantis says that the AI Bill of Rights that they're working on at the Senate and the House, of course, legislative session is going to start next week. Not next week, 2 weeks, right? Anyway, he says that despite what Trump has said with his executive order banning, you know, individual states from doing these restrictions, he thinks that what he's got will be compatible with. And besides, it's just right anyway. It's our prerogative to protect, for example, minors, to make sure there's public disclosure about whether something is produced with AI and all that. We'll see. We'll see what actually comes out of the legislature and whether it survives, you know, the president's gaze.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Some big meetings at Mar-a-Lago. President Trump hosted Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House this weekend, saying Russia and Ukraine were maybe very close to ending the nearly four-year war.
President Trump and President Zelensky echoed a line that we've heard many times in the past, that they've made a lot of progress, but there are still some gaps. They say they're about 90% agreed on the 20-point peace plan.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera. The president is meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today to talk about the next steps in the Gaza peace process.
President Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu have struck differing positions over the makeup of an international stability force in Gaza and expansion of West Bank settlements. Netanyahu has also announced plans for Israel to develop a domestic weapons manufacturing industry.
Fox's Jared Halpern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 right now, 69 degrees and partly cloudy. I'm Steve Taylor in for the vacationing David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. A five-vehicle pileup on the Lillian Bridge renewed calls for safety improvements on the notoriously dangerous roadway. That crash happened last Thursday night about 11:35, injuring 10 people, three of them seriously. A Georgia driver crossed the center line in heavy fog, hitting a pickup truck head-on, which triggered a chain reaction. Crazy Horse Cafe manager Shelley Birch said,
They go quite fast. Even in the rain and the fog, it don't slow them down. We should have a caution light or something to let people know there's a bridge, there's a curb, something.
The Florida Highway Patrol is still investigating the cause, but for residents and business owners nearby, the message is clear. Do something.
I'd say within a mile from Crazy Horse, either direction, there's probably a wreck every other day.
She says accidents happen nearly every other day on that stretch of road. She's pushing for warning signs or caution lights to alert the drivers to the bridge, sharp curve, and frequent fog. We're basically 1 week away from the beginning of major construction on Palafox, and an important new tool is now available for the downtown Pensacola Palafox Street community.
The new Palafox.com is now live. That is where all of the information for the next several months during the reimagination of Palafox will be housed. You can get everything from the directory of every business on Palafox Street in downtown Pensacola. Any of their information, we'll share construction updates with you.
That's Mayor D.C. Reeves, and the city launched newpalafox.com as the central hub for everything related to the four-month construction project, which begins a week from today. The website includes a complete directory of every restaurant and retail location on Palafox, so customers can find the hours, contact information, and links to their favorite spots while that construction is underway. Well, guess what? We enjoyed the weather. It was nice and warm for a few days, but we're in for a blast of cold weather tonight. The National Weather Service issued a cold weather advisory starting at midnight until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Very cold wind chills as low as 17 degrees are expected inland. That could lead to hypothermia. If you go outside, basically they're advising wearing appropriate clothing, a hat and gloves. Also, keep your pets indoors as much as possible. Speaking of the forecast, let's check that out. from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We are going to be seeing a cool down as we go into the rest of your mornings. Temperatures starting off warmer than they will be in the afternoon. Highs today, this afternoon, into the 50s, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures are going to be dropping quite a bit, around 32 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, 69 degrees in Pensacola, 69 also in Gulf Breeze, and 68 in Milton at 533. Next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, the Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on the Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Hi, this is Katie King with E.W. Bullock, wishing you a joyful and magical Christmas filled with love, laughter, and cherished moments.
This is Monroe Watley at Frontier Motors, wishing you a safe holiday season. And remember, please don't drink and drive.
From all of us at the WEAR Morning News, and there's a lot more of us than you see every day on TV, we certainly wish you happy holidays.
From our family to yours, all the joys of the season.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7. Wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed. Then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpia Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Riveting Christmas trivia that we will be discussing at some point this evening.
I like the big words.
Riveting's a big word. Well, yes, Andrew doesn't use big words. You're right. So.
Well, then I just look at him sometimes.
What now?
Yeah, I just look at you sometimes.
What do you mean I don't use big words?
Well, I was.
I can so too use big words.
100%. Alex Andrade filling in for Andrew McKay this morning. We wrapped up our last segment by saying Andrew McKay does not use big words.
How dare you?
And now I'm trying to figure out what other minor insults I can make about Andrew McKay that we cannot, that would allow me to do it without him noticing.
I know, right?
But apparently he does actually listen to the podcast like I do. So
maybe
we'll see just how many he thinks is funny.
I thought the project was funny, but he didn't really give that many insults. Walker does much better at the, like, when Walker fills in and he gives those, Andrew McKay is touring with Britney Spears right now, fulfilling a lifelong dream of
right?
It's always some crazy thing.
I'm sensing a theme for this morning. It's going to be a combination of Christmas trivia, some light discussions potentially about Medicaid theft, Medicaid fraud, and insults about Andrew McKay that we can hopefully get away with on the air.
Well, we're getting away with them.
I mean, well, they're now, happening. I
mean, yeah, they're happening. We're getting away with them. So, I mean, you know.
At any rate, this will be a better episode than your regular Andrew McKay show, right? Is that what we're assuming?
Was it? I love Alex so much.
Not yet. Thank goodness she's not tall enough to reach those things. True. That Andrew McKay's doppelganger, Macaulay Culkin, was able to reach.
Yes.
That's a good burn. That's a good burn. I deserve that.
We love
that,
you, Andrew.
Yeah.
You're great. We love
had to throw that in there.
I love the Macaulay Culkin doppelganger. I mean, a little weak, though. Could have gone David Spade. You know, I get David Spade sometimes.
You do? Yeah. I can see it.
Yeah. You know, whiny. Nobody likes him. Frail looking. Weird hair. I mean, I see it. In my good days, it's, his name always escapes me. The redheaded cat who was my Miami CSI, David Caruso. On a good day, I get David Caruso.
On a good day.
Yeah.
I like that, on a good day.
On a bad day, I get David Spade. Things don't really work out that well.
So someone texted in, with Andrew out of the station, this seems like the perfect time to share some really embarrassing stories about him. So if you have embarrassing stories about Andrew McKay that can be shared on the air on a family station.
See, that's half the problem is right. Mine can't be shared on the air.
Dang. Feel free to text in 850-437-1620.
I make sure the bad stories are so bad that they can't even get shared on the air. All right, one more for now.
There's some other great dad jokes. If you have great dad jokes, great puns related to Christmas, please feel free to call or text in. The number is 850-437-1620. Otherwise, you're just going to be subjected to mine.
That was brutal, too.
Hold on for dear life.
Dear. I see.
That was a tremendous pun.
Oh boy.
I'm not even sure they qualify
goodness.
As
we'll,
puns.
We'll work on those. That probably won't be a full segment's worth of puns.
I believe in you. You could do it.
You believe in me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
I think I'm going to slay.
You will slay.
These are homophones, not puns, by the way.
I have no elf control around Christmas. Right. Puns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we
make
can
it,
tell.
Make
no
it
elf
stop.
Control.
Please.
But wait, there's myrrh.
There's myrrh.
I give him credit on that. That was pretty good. That was fine.
Got to end on that one. Although,
John finally found the crickets button.
Sorry, that's, yes, I could do right there.
To be fair, these are better than the puns Andrew McKay does on a daily basis.
Yes.
Now we'll start a war.
Oh. I hope we do.
I hope we do.
He wasted a whole hour trying to math check me 2 weeks ago. Not good radio. And no, technically he's correct. Technically he was correct about the whole, like...
This is what I love about Alex. Alex wants to make fun of me for doing math on the radio, and he wants to mock it for being terrible radio, which it really was. But he can't not say I was right, because he's so loyal to what's true that he has to acknowledge that I was actually right in my criticism. Anyway, I appreciate them filling out. I have Michelle clips for next hour.
Oh boy. Don't give that woman extra coffee, please.
Oh my God. Thank you to everybody who filled in for me. Danny Zimmern, Alex Andrade, Michelle Salzman. It was fun. I haven't had a chance to listen to Danny's segments yet. I had Michelle and Alex on the drive over to Fernandina Beach, where I have relatives. My mother-in-law lives there, and she's awesome. So we got a chance to spend some time with her. 437-1620. All right, actual news. You know this... the kind of the ongoing drama surrounding Entango Makes Three. That's the same-sex penguin book. That's where the, you know, Tango has two dads. You know, it's kind of the idea of that book, like, you know, gay penguins in the real world become the grist for a kid's book about how same-sex relationships are perfectly normal because they happen in nature. You know, a lot of things happen in nature that are not, like, what we want to pattern human society off of. All right, not to, like, delve too quickly off into the philosophy side of things, but have you ever heard this argument that gay relationships are perfectly fine because they happen in nature? Well, okay. I mean, it's an interesting argument. You know what else also happens in nature? Murder. Rape. You know, like, there's a lot of horrible things that happen in nature. That doesn't tell us whether the thing is good or bad. It just tells us that it happens in animals. And humans, despite what you might have been taught in, you know, let's say your last biology class, humans, though we categorize as animals, are a completely different kind of creature because we have ethics and, you know, higher cognitive function. But ethics is the big thing that distinguishes us, you know, because we have a soul. Well, you can't prove that. Okay, fine. But unless your concept of human morality is we do whatever the animals do, the idea that there's same-sex relationships in nature tells us absolutely nothing about whether there should be same-sex relationships among humans. It doesn't mean that they're wrong. It doesn't mean that they're right. It tells us nothing because what happens in nature doesn't involve ethics, doesn't involve morality. Oh, look at the, I don't know, I think the eagles mate for life. See, marriage. Yeah, but look at the lion and all those chicks. You know, if the pattern is nature, I mean, the lion has a harem and, you know, they go do all the work for him. I mean, it's not, like, it's just a nonsense argument that what happens in nature is the basis of what's right for human society or under human ethics. But people say this kind of stuff because, well, you know, they never took my ethics class or my logic class. And if they had, they'd learn to think better. So Entangle Makes Three is the idea that in nature you have this story. It's wonderful. It's delightful. It's completely harmless. It's fine. It's for kids. Okay, but, you know, it has implications. It's some people, well, I mean, what's the problem with this book? Well, I mean, imagine if you wrote the book and Leo has a harem. You know, like, and it was just some innocent story about Leo the lion who's got his 10 women. He sleeps with all of them. He makes babies with all of them. He kills all the, you know, challengers. And they engage in murder and, what is the word for childicide? I think patricide and fratricide. I can't think of, I know the word. Infanticide. That, you know, lions practice infanticide. I mean, not so much a juvenilicide, but, you know, and he pushes them away or kills them if they challenge him.
Are you trying to use big words on purpose?
Well, just to prove the point, Alex.
Okay.
You know, the apes do the same thing. I mean, you know, in ant life and bee life, you have models of society that don't look an awful lot like a representative republic. should we pattern ourselves? But what if you made a kid's book about, again, the murdering, raping gorillas or the murdering harem having polygamous lions, or I mean, you get my point. If you said, "Hey, it's just a kid's book," it's just a kid's book. Well, but it's meant to have a certain moral implication for normalizing a behavior that is, to some people's point of view, highly unacceptable for humans. To other people's point of view, completely normal to humans. But don't pretend it's just a kid's book. I mean, that's the thing about this whole conversation that bothers me. I just wish people would be honest. Be honest. The fight over Entangle Makes Three is not about, it's just a kid's book. Look, it's got pictures. Well, you know, here's a kid's book about Satanism. I mean, it's just so stupid. If you made a kid's book with pretty cartoon pictures about Satanism, and you say, why would you not have that in the school? It's just, are you saying that gay relationships are like Satanism? No. Dummy, I'm saying that just because you take a thing and dress it up in kids' language in a child's book with pretty pictures does not make it a neutral, inoffensive piece of educational pablum that is no problem for anybody to have. The whole point of Entangle Makes Three is to smuggle a sexual ethics normalizing book about gay relationships into the child's sphere of influence. And don't pretend it's something else. You can think it's wonderful, you can think it's terrible, but that's what it is. And this whole news, it's just a child's book. Who can get, well, yeah, with consequences, with implications. Anyway, so the reason I bring this up, it continues to be a conversation in the courts because, you know, Escambia County had the book, got rid of the book, got sued, won, and now that's getting appealed. And all I'm saying is just be honest. the other side. You know, be honest about what it is. And then we can have an honest adult conversation about whether kids should have it or not. But don't make it seem like just because you drew a cartoon of it that therefore it's okay. The whole point is that you drew a cartoon about things that some people think are perfectly fine, that the law in America in the year 2025, for two more days, thinks is perfectly fine. Not the law, but the 2025. And other people think is absolutely unacceptable. And just, you know. And by the way, you know it's... Why do you fight so hard to keep it? If all it is some dumb... And I actually own a copy of Entango Makes 3. I read it. And, you know, as a book, it's fine. Of course, except for what it is promoting. But it advocates a moral, cultural, sexual norm for children. And everybody knows it's true because that's why you fight to keep it. The people who are against it because it normalizes homosexual relationships. The people who are for it want to keep it because it normalizes homosexual relationships. If it didn't do that, you wouldn't fight so hard to keep it. The whole point is that you think it's a good thing because it teaches kids that this is an okay thing. Well, that's the point. That's a viewpoint. That's a moral claim. That's why we have a fight about it, because people don't all see it your way. Anyway, just be honest. I'm a big fan of being honest. Like Alex, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. In English, and in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The
only thing I didn't learn...
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in tomorrow at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the FHSAA and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PennAir Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at PennAir.org/auto-refi. That's PennAir.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan applications submitted between October 1st and December 31st, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PENNAIR for complete details.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Let's get it on.
Who are these guys?
It's my theme music. Every good hero should have some.
You know, I just realized Panorama by the Cars has the vague beginning of the Flash Gordon theme song.
That's,
it's here. Listen to this again. It's not the same. The drum beat is, but it's the same rhythm. So, all right, fair enough. Oh, and I did watch I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker over the weekend.
You're gonna get what?
The movie name is I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Oh, okay, because I was like, what are you gonna do to me this
weekend? It's a Wayans Brothers.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they're, you know, and how much for just a sip? Chris Rock has the definitive performance in that. You break 100. Let's see. Steve is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. Steve?
Well, one pilot is dead, another critically injured in New Jersey after their helicopters collided in midair. That happened yesterday morning about 35 miles southeast of Philadelphia. The FAA says there were no passengers on board. A new DOJ filing says the Virginia man arrested earlier this month, who confessed to placing pipe bombs outside the DNC and RNC headquarters on January 6, 2021, repeatedly cited conspiracy theories about the 2020 election. The filing said Brian Cole Jr. told investigators he was going to protest in support of then-President Trump and believed people felt their votes were being, quote, thrown away. Well, a potential bomb cyclone is bringing snow to the upper Midwest. A blizzard warning is in effect for Minnesota, North Dakota, Wisconsin, and Iowa, where our David Wayne is now enjoying his vacation. Snowfall could range from 6 inches to as much as 2 feet along the Great Lakes, and that's what's happening.
All right, Steve, thanks for the update. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. Pentagon fails its eighth audit in a row. Don't worry, President Trump's going to fix it all. By 2028, we're going to have a clean audit.
100%.
It's going to be 100 times better than any audit has ever been before. 100 times more powerful. It's going to be gold-plated audit. It's gonna, I just can't. Anyway, we'll see. I mean, it's really bad that we're spending, you know, what, $900 billion a year. And John, you're an accountant. Have you paid much attention to the Pentagon audit failures?
No.
No, I don't know enough to know how bad it is because accounting is not my bag. But it's not. They're not going to get a clean.
There's been way too much football on for me to focus on anything else.
Okay. It's funny. Football this year has been weird. A lot of games that started off looking really terrible and boring wind up coming down to the last moment, and then the Bills go for two, and you wonder what in the world.
Oh, I know.
And I thought that game was over. I don't know, in the second
quarter.
When it
was 13 to nothing.
Yeah, when it was just, and the Bills couldn't, you know, Josh Allen couldn't make a pass to save his life. And, you know, like, oh, all right, here we go. Look, they're going to win. Well, they biffed the point. Anyway, I watched that one game, but I'm mostly on fast forward. So I didn't watch anything else. I was driving yesterday coming back from Jacksonville. What else do we have going on? Supreme Court says Trump can't deploy National Guard to Chicago. Yeah, but it's not the final disposition of this issue. It's the whole, you know, do you overturn what the lower court has put in place as a hold, or do you allow? It's a lot of times we get these like fakey headlines. They're not fake. They're just, it makes it seem like the Supreme Court has issued a ruling on the substance of a thing, and they have not. We are, oh gosh, probably 2 years away from. I mean, it's got to get to the Supreme Court. They've got to accept the case. And then, you know how it is. Like, the Supreme Court will hear the case in, you know, November, and they'll rule on it in the following June or July. So it's not on this season's docket. I mean, they could always emergency add it. I don't think that's going to happen. But sometime next summer or maybe summer of 2027, we'll find out whether Trump has the constitutional authority to deploy the National Guard to cities against the will of the local elected official. I mean, that's where we're at. Like, that's the reality. Is nothing is going to the only reason this might matter is because if the inability to deploy it over the objections of the local elected officials or the governor will have an effect on where he's able to deploy between now and then, theoretically. But yeah, we're not going to actually know this case for at least another year and a half, I would think. 437-1620, 437-1620. What else do we have going on? This is, do I want to tell this story? This is a terrible story. Everybody hates porch pirates, right? Like, porch pirates are evil people. They're the kind of people that throw gum on the sidewalk. They're like, they ruin people's lives. They steal stuff, opportunity. They're making everybody's life worse. It makes you hate society and not trust your neighbors. Like, it's all the bad things. In the grand scheme of actual harm, it's pretty small. Stealing, you know, somebody's parcel off the porch compared to the other things you could do to people, right? I mean, we all know that. But it's just so evil. You know, it's like people cutting in line at the grocery store. In the grand scheme of your time, it's not that big of a deal, but it's kind of like them saying, I just don't believe in civilization, and screw you. Okay, well, it can be worse. I read a story. This is really kind of a bad story, like I said, but porch pirates might wind up stealing people's medicine that they need because you don't know what's in that package. And NPR had a really horrible story about this mom whose son has a disorder in which he has epileptic seizures, and sometimes he has to go to the emergency room because he has these seizures, and a porch pirate stole his medicine off the porch, and she couldn't find a way to get it, and you can't just go get a refill because the prescription doesn't allow for that. It's a very difficult thing, and so when somebody steals somebody's medicine, how do you solve that problem, let alone the cost of replacing it? I'm like, well, that just took porch piracy to a whole new level of inconsiderate evil.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.